On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, Appalachian whining sickness, scary jammies, the 12 days of Christmas, Canadian cop torture, and a pot of gold.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Have you got your Gollum voice going?
I've got my Gollum voice on right now.
Let me hear your Gollum voice.
I am the beast from the mucous membranes.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
That is pretty good. I've got my Batman voice. I'm Batman.
Yeah, you kind of are.
I'm the Batman podcast. Where's the Joker? Because I want to do everything I can, but not really kill him.
Okay, yeah.
And even when the time is right, I still don't kill him.
Even when you should?
Because I'm a big bat wuss.
Big bat wuss. Okay,
bat-wuss.
Well.
How dare you?
I'm looking for the precious.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
And I can do Batman, and you can do, what would you, Gollum?
Gollum. Or, I'm Gollum.
Because this week, we're both sick.
I gave you my cootie. I am so sorry. I feel so bad.
Last week, I made fun of you, and I'll be damned if I didn't fucking get it.
And I still have it, so.
You're kind of waning at the end of yours.
I'm doing a bit better, but I mean, every day that I think, okay, this is it. I've whipped this shit. It's like, no, you haven't. It's just, no.
I think we have Appalachian whining sickness.
Yeah, because I just feel whining most of the time. How about you?
That's it. It's not like it's like life or death. Back of my throat's a little scratchy. This warm coffee feels phenomenal.
Just a little run down. Not even so bad you can't do anything.
You're just whiny.
Don't really want to do anything you don't have to.
You
have to.
You just want to lay on a couch and whine.
Yep. Appalachian whining sickness.
Appalachian whining sickness, I'm telling you. Didn't you, you were telling me something about that the other day. What were you saying about that? Appalachian whining sickness. Ah, well, it'll come to us. We whine so much we can't remember what we were whining about.
You were picking on me about something, and I just turned around, and I don't know where it came from. I just said, don't make me whine at you.
Exactly.
And you just busted a gut laughing, because, I mean, it was so true. It was like, I'm not going to smack you. I'm not going to yell at you. I'm just going to whine at you. So,
yeah, that's pretty much what it was. Yeah, that is what it was. See, that's good.
Don't make me whine
there.
At you.
Don't make me whine at you. That's what you did.
I don't know where that came from.
That's what I'm doing now, and today I want to whine, and I'm like, oh, I can't. I gave her shit about it last week, so I can't whine.
Because you did. You did give me. And we really did try not to share cooties. Like, we've tried not to eat after each other and things. Just trying very hard. Two people that live together and sleep together in the same bed, trying not to share germs. It's kind of hard.
Well, of course it's hard. And all that being said, we still had sexy time, so we're going to share all kinds of cooties that way. So we didn't try that damn hard.
I wasn't so sick that you weren't even interested in sexy time.
Well, it's more being considerate of you. Like, this week I didn't really press the issue because all the whining and the lounging around, I knew you didn't feel great.
And then this weekend I felt a little bit better, and you're like, woohoo!
Yeah, well, I think it's you more like, come on, jackass. I'm not feeling that bad.
Yeah, maybe it was.
Well, whatever. You know, another benefit. Hell's not a benefit. It's an awful. It's opposite of a benefit. You can't taste shit with this.
Oh, I know. You really
can't.
This
affliction that we have. For
2 days straight, the only thing that I could taste at all was Skittles.
You had leftover something from lunch in here you had on a plate.
Yeah.
And I woke up from a nap, and I was hungry, went in there and ate it. What'd I tell you what I ate?
You're like, I ate your asparagus. And I was like, I didn't have asparagus. Those were green beans. And I'm looking at you like you've lost your damn mind.
Damn it, they were long and green like a green bean.
You need to wear your glasses when you eat, okay? If you can't tell by the taste, you at least need to look and see what the fuck you're eating.
God, when you get older, it's like being a child again. Somebody has to tell you, like, you know, somebody has to tell you this shit again. You have to relearn. All right, don't eat things you can't see because you tell me no. You should get your glasses before you.
Oh, sometimes it's hilarious. When you make a salad in there, it is like, do you remember the chef on the Muppets where he
yes.
was like, bork-de-bork-de-bork-de-bork and threw food everywhere? You do that, and you don't even realize you do it because our countertops are almost camouflage. So I can understand that you can't see that.
That was my defense.
But, like, sometimes I go in there and I'm like, the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
It's
I totally
funny.
Get it. I it's need funny. One of those. Here's what we need. We need one of those plumber eels to just root up in your nose and just roto-root all that bullshit out of there.
See, mine is not even that stopped up. Like, it's not even stopped up. It just runs all the time.
Well, does it run to the holes in the front of your face or the holes in the back of your throat?
Yes.
Both, really?
Yeah.
See, mine's just running to the back of my throat. If it run to the front of my face, that'd be fantastic.
Mine will go both directions. So
I'm like, ready to like snort some wasabi and I'll get that shit out of there. Give me a little.
And it'll last like an hour of misery and then it'll be running again. I'm sorry. It's gonna hang on for a while.
Damn it. Oh, well, that's how it goes. Well, I could get some hot sauce from that Chinese restaurant next door to me. That'd be.
We've got a gallon-sized jug of Texas Pete in here.
Oh, that's good.
I love me some Texas Pete. That was the other thing that I could eat this week was tacos. I could taste the hot sauce. I could feel the crunchy shell, and I could taste the hot sauce. That was it.
Maybe I could take some Texas Pete and shove that up my nose and see if that.
You're really gross. You're really up with this shove stuff up your nose thing.
Yeah. Again, little kid thing. You have to reteach me.
I'm going to have to.
I'm getting older. I'm going towards.
All right. I'm going to tell this story because this is really, really disgusting. And you've opened the door for this. My mom years ago worked for a children's clinic. And it was not just any children's clinic. Bless her heart.
Bless her
heart.
This
was low-income children clinic. Mm-hmm. You know, it was. Oh, she got to see some fun stuff. And one of the worst ones, they had to clear out the whole clinic like. Everybody out, throw open the doors and air it out because a kid came in and you could see this little green thing sticking out of his nose.
Okay.
And the doctor shines this flashlight up there and goes, "What?" Gets a pair of tweezers and pulls out. This kid had shoved a bean up his nose.
Sweet.
And it had taken root in his sinuses and grown out his nose. So basically, it was
sprout?
Like it sprouted. It freaking sprouted and came down his nose.
This dude was turned into Groot.
He was. He
Appalachian
was.
Groot.
And like in the little bit of root that had developed up there, it just had a pocket of kind of like disgusting infection. So he had a sinus infection on top of it. You know, this little fella's like, you know, 3 years old and just had a ball of shit pulled out of his nose. And, oh, it was nasty.
He's turned into a bean.
Yeah.
That's weird.
But kids will shove stuff up their nose. You're sitting there talking about it right now and I'm going, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't even understand.
Yeah,
like, I could not be the drug addict that snorts stuff. I'd be like, no.
Yeah, but mine's a controlled something, like Texas Pete, a little bit of hot sauce, something to just make your sinuses just pour. You don't think that'd be?
No.
Oh, I crave
I'm
that.
Just looking at you.
So
like,
I want some chili. I want some chili with the hottest bullshit. I want that Trinidad
scorpion. Do you know what my grandpa used to do all the time? And this was so gross. He would take a Q-tip and roll it in Vicks Vapor Rub and shove it all the way up his head. Like, he had a big-ass nose, too. Our pop had a honking nose. And he would walk around there and be just like the white end of two Q-tips sticking out of his nose.
Because
he'd have them crammed all the way up there and be like, yeah, I'm kind of congested. I'd be like, then pull that out. Like, it always just.
I want to make some chili with that Trinidad scorpion pepper sauce that we have.
No.
Pureed. It's pureed Trinidad scorpion peppers. It's like, just anybody listen, it's like one of the two or three hot peppers in the world, depending upon the season that somebody grows the hottest one. Like it's in the millions and millions of Scovilles.
I just don't understand why, how you can even buy that. That should be a controlled substance. Like, and we have a bottle. It's not a big bottle.
Oh, it's
we
a little.
We have a whole bottle of that stuff. It's like nuclear waste.
It would last. It'll literally last the rest of our lives. It's
Yeah.
You can put for a whole big slow cooker of chili, you put one drop in it, it's fantastic. You put two drops in it, you might as well throw it the hell out.
Because you're not going to eat that shit. Yeah.
It's unbelievable how hot some of this stuff is.
And unbelievable. I don't care for it. It's not a good hot to me.
Like I said, the one drop, I like that, and it's actually flavorful. Uh-huh. Any more than that, though.
But you've seen how I eat tacos. Like, I drown them in Texas Pete. Like, I put a hurting on that Texas Pete bottle every taco. Like,
that's who ought to sponsor the show. We love Texas Pete.
Yeah, we do.
I'd love to get them as a sponsor.
Texas Pete is good.
Like me some Texas Pete. Well, good the Chinese restaurant that makes that heavy stuff, I was going to say this week, I was just going to give an example. I don't know if anybody else really gives a shit about customer service or not. I think they kind of do.
But they forget what good customer service is.
Maybe. I think they kind of, when something goes wrong, then they appreciate it. But, well, hang on. Petra's running. She's running. Now she's running back. Here she comes.
You didn't have to interrupt that for that. I just needed my chapstick because my lips are all chapped.
Oh, God.
And
have I got to worry about that now, too?
You do.
Is that what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
Damn, this crazy sickness. Anyway, I think
Appalachian whining sickness.
Yeah. Anyway, I think people kind of, like when something goes wrong, they know if they got bad service, maybe.
Yeah.
But when things are going good and they get excellent service, I don't think people even give a shit anymore. I think that's why customer service is so shitty, frankly.
Yeah. Well, because it's so unappreciated.
People
don't
demand it.
Well, I don't know if people don't demand it or if people treat.
They don't appreciate it.
They don't appreciate it, and they don't treat people who are giving them good customer service like anything but a dog. I feel so bad.
That's a good point.
An example. I went to the water department to make sure that one of our services had been switched over to a tenant, and went in, sat down. Like, everybody was busy with somebody when I sat down. You know, no, you don't have to acknowledge that I'm there. You see me. It's a small office, you know, and I'm keeping myself busy on my phone for a couple of minutes. The guy that came in behind me sat down making just a ton of noise. That rude, I don't even know how to describe.
They give off a vibe.
Yeah.
They're just sitting
and
there impatiently.
Yeah. And somebody else, it wasn't one of the folks that was working with the water department. There's water and like some licensing going on in there. Somebody else said,
right.
You know, acknowledge that he was there and they'll help
city
you.
Building.
You know, they'll help you as soon as they can. And he's like, well, thank you for at least acknowledging that I'm here. That's what he said. Yeah. Yeah. So.
Well, you got that. Well, this week I work out one day a week from my office. And when I work out, there's a Chinese restaurant next to me that's been there forever at one of my places, one mm-hmm. of my business locations. And these guys are phenomenal. They've been in business like 10 years now. We're really good neighbor buddies, uh-huh. neighbor business buddies.
Yeah.
We'll get packages for them and they sign for it and vice versa. And just, you know, it's nice. And this is it's one of those success stories that when people, I don't know, when they get on their low horse about how bad things are and there's no way to move up in class in America and how awful it is, I point to these people who are in the middle of the most economically depressed area in the country.
In the whole country.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They move here. They can't even speak, I mean, barely English.
Yeah.
And they open a successful Chinese restaurant and have been there for 10 years and will always be there.
Yeah.
Because they are just nice people, genuine.
Good people.
Good people.
Good food, good service.
So I eat there frequently. And this particular time, as I was taking my stuff out, I had some hot sauce. Speaking of hot sauce, red hot sauce. And I had a couple of little containers of it to go. And as I was leaving that restaurant, I somehow dropped. And these three containers of red sauce went all over me. Then they hit the floor. Then they exploded up from the floor onto
hit you again.
Onto me and the wall, it was a mess. It looked like somebody had been axe murdered in the front of their store.
You get out of here right now.
You know what? That's what you would think.
Yeah.
But you know what? These people, and it's not just because me being a good neighbor. They would have done this with anybody.
Anybody.
Like, it was almost like they were glad it happened, so it gave them an opportunity to show me and to help me and to just give the best customer service in that situation you could possibly give somebody.
Wow.
It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beyond anything that anybody, well, very few businesses would do.
Yeah.
I mean, the lady instantly saw what happened. She, oh, no, you stay there. You stay there, you know.
Yeah.
So I stay there instantly. She speaks Chinese instantly. Like, four people come out of the back with rags and mops and all this stuff. And within minutes, like they're kind of helping me wipe myself off.
Yeah.
They're taking the food that I still have and refilling that. They're mopping the floor. And I'm telling you, within maybe 3 to 4 minutes tops, you could never tell a damn thing happened.
And heading back out.
Exactly.
Wow.
Wow. It's amazing. All you got to do is just treat people with, it sounds so simple. I read business books.
It does.
I read business books. I listen to business podcasts all the time on this stuff. And it really just is so simple. You've got to treat people and make your employees treat people like you would want to be treated in an ideal situation. Why is that so hard?
Well, I think lots of times it's a vicious downward spiral. I've been on the customer service receiving end. You know, I worked for years with customers that didn't want to be buying the service we were selling to begin with. So, I mean, it's bad sometimes. They come, you answer the phone or you walk in or whatever, and both barrels in your face immediately. Like, anything that they can find.
Yeah.
To complain about. I mean, and it's hard to keep your head up and feel good about what you're doing when you're constantly belittled like that. Like I was saying about like this water office
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. When I did finally get waited on, which it took a few minutes because, I mean, this is basically the office where people go to pay their past due bills and get their water hooks back up. So it's a lot of high traffic. So when I was, you know, called up, you know, I sat down and I could tell immediately she felt about as good as I did. And I'm like, hey, how you doing? And she's like, well, I'm leaving here in a little bit to go to the doctor. And we ended up talking for just a minute. We both had the same head cold.
Right.
It's the Appalachian whining sickness. And
that's the other thing we call it, too, is a head cold. To all you other people in the normal world, it's a sinus infection.
I don't know if it's infected. It's just like a cold that has all upper respiratory symptoms. It's a head cold.
It's a head cold for us. Go ahead.
but, you know, then, you know, she had to track down, you know, I had my bill there, but, you know, she has to open up the account and make sure that it's been switched over. And she, you know, apologized. She's like, I'm sorry, the computers are running really slow. And I'm like, that's okay. No problem. And seriously, I felt so bad. Like, you could see in her eyes because she had to deal with the jackass behind me. Like, next, you could just see. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Well, I think a part of it, I mean, hell, I mean, I'm not a business guru as far as I don't have all the answers, but I do think a part of it, and this is one thing I wanted to point out, is how big the business is. I really believe the smaller the business, preferably family owned, but and people who are waiting on you actually are the owner or very close to being the owner. I think small businesses, you get the best customer service because they have to. That is a small business niche, and that is their weapon against giant corporations.
Better service.
Yes. If you work at Walmart, I don't give a damn what Walmart does. They will never be able to get employees that'll treat you like you would in a little specialty – shop
no.
owned by a small company.
No, you might have occasionally find one person who's thrilled to be there, but for every one person like that, there's 999 that are just barely eking right. out like a paycheck and probably still having to fight tooth and nail, maybe a second job to be able to subsist.
Right. So maybe it's not possible. I mean, as a company grows to a certain size, maybe it's just not possible. But I'm just telling you, I had great service there, and I've paid more attention because we own a small business. We own a small medical business, and we own a small property business. So I'm always in tune and try my best to go to local. The smaller, the better.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean once in a while I won't go to Walmart, but for the most part, even with food, I'll try to go to Kroger's instead of Walmart. You can say, well, they're both giant corporations. Yeah, but one is 40 times bigger than the other one.
Yeah.
So I'm still going to go to the corporation that's smallest if I can.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. I understand that.
And speaking of giant corporations, this is a good place for our plug.
Yes.
Our sponsor is a giant corporation.
Yes, but it's one that it's like the necessary evil that we all use.
But you know what? They've eliminated the customer service. Excuse me, part of it mostly because it's online.
Yeah, yeah, they.
That's one way to get rid of it.
But you know what? Honestly, they're good to their customers. I will say that. All right, if you're gonna buy your stuff from Amazon, would you pretty please go to hillbillynerdtalk.com and click on our Amazon banner? That's giving us a little kickback and cost you nothing extra.
Exactly. I know Christmas is here. Somebody out there is going to buy something big. Just save our website as your Amazon go-to.
Yes.
One extra click, people, and it does help the show.
It does. It does.
So
and we appreciate it.
Me and Petra are sickly. We are febrile. You can help us out.
Yes, we're febrile. That's okay. True.
I have a movie that we have to watch.
Oh?
I'm sorry we have to watch it, but we just do.
I have volunteered to watch it earlier this weekend.
This all started from a buddy of mine. You have friends that something comes up in conversation that they love so much, they can't believe you haven't seen it or heard it or experienced it.
I'm that friend.
Okay. and they want you to experience this so bad that you can tell, like you can tell soon, like this isn't going to be some casual thing. Like this is going to hurt our friendship if I don't watch this. Because the next time I see Dave, my buddy Dave.
You have to have watched this.
I have to have watched this. What is the name of this movie that my extremely white hillbilly buddy
yeah.
loves that I have to now watch?
House Party.
With Ken Play.
Full Force and Robin Harris. Robin, you got to get like a better name than that.
I think that is from 1991, my friend says. He has the whole thing memorized.
All right.
I think he has the soundtrack. I think he has the whole nine yards.
Wow.
This may be his One Night in Bangkok song.
You can pick on me all you want. You went down to get you went out to get a dessert earlier this weekend and came back, and I had One Night in Bangkok blaring because it was like the 80s at 8.
When I came off the elevator, I heard One Night in Bangkok. I'm like, well, how has she found this?
I'm like in here going, woo!
But yeah, no, this all started. I was over at his house watching the UK game, University of Kentucky. They're good in basketball this year, even though they lost. Anyway, we have a dude on our team that looks like this dude.
Yeah.
I think that's Play.
Yeah.
He's the one with a high, tight afro that's about 6 inches off his head.
Yeah, that's.
What do you call that?
It's kind of a flat top, but it's.
It looks like
it's stretched to its limits.
It looks like a giant pencil eraser.
It does. It does. And it's got a fade to it, like the. Almost right, like an ombre color.
All right, cosmetologist. To the rest of us, it looks like a giant black eraser head.
It does. It looks like a pencil.
So, yeah, while I'm over there, we start, you know how, you can see where this is going. We talk about a UK player. And I'm like, that dude looks like the guy from Kid and Play back in the day. And then it's like, oh, my God, that's the best movie ever. I'm like, oh, I never saw it. Oh, my God, you got to watch it. I'm going right now to my box of movies, and I'm getting it for you. And it was like, no stopping. I'm like, really? This is engrossed your life so much?
This may be an amazing movie. Or it's going to be awful, but I want to watch it too now because I'm curious. Like, whenever somebody gets that excited about something, I really am curious about it.
Well, we're going to see it. So there you go. I have to watch it at least. You may not have to, but I'm going to have to watch it and do a book report on it. I'm going to get grilled on it. Scene by scene. I think this guy loves this movie enough. It's going to be at the two. Did you like that part at the 25-minute mark when they're entering the house and this happened? You know, it's going to be that.
You're going to. You're going to have to.
So, yeah, I got to watch it.
Yeah, and pay attention to it. That's the hard part for me. I can watch anything, but paying attention to it's hard sometimes.
So we all have that, I suppose. All right, I've got, I want to see if you think this is scary or not.
Okay.
A toddler, here's a story. A toddler was sent home from preschool because another toddler's parents thought that his jammies were scary. Have you ever heard of that one?
His jammies were scary?
Mm-hmm.
What was on his jammies?
You're about to see. That's the fake picture of that. Those things.
Oh, I think they're adorable. I would put my kid in those.
They're little funny black
and
cartoon
gray
monsters that are like so cartoonish.
They've got big googly eyes and
right,
yeah,
exaggerated,
like great big mouths, and they're like if you drew dogs and cats with just a circle, stick legs, and googly eyes.
Yep. Yeah, that's what we're seeing, everybody. So. Yeah, this kid had to go home because of these damn jammies.
I absolutely, positively would take to Facebook. That would be one of those things where I would absolutely, positively, especially if I had a choice and could take my kid to another preschool, I would make so much fun of those other parents for their whininess and the preschool for sending my kid home.
Right.
It would be a situational thing. Like if I was stuck having to get along, then I would suck it up. But if I didn't have to get along, I would make that go viral.
Where does this stop? We don't have kids. So, you know, I think, what would we do in this situation?
I mean, did the kid cry about it or was it just the parents?
It was just the parents, apparently.
Oh, good God.
It was
like
it,
if the kid, I mean, because kids don't normally.
And here's what one of the parents, or one of the interview people who were interviewed who work at this daycare center, quote, we don't have a uniform, but apparently a mom said they scared her daughter, end quote. So some other mom
crying
said that this
out
little
loud
preschool, we're talking this, what, this is like a 2-year-old, 3-year-old?
Yeah.
This looks crazy, right?
You know. Like, preschool, you should be worrying about, like, do the kids bite each other? Like, it shouldn't be what they're wearing, for crying out loud. There shouldn't be. I'm just shocked. It makes me so glad we don't have a kid.
At some point, at some point, when does this stop? Do you just put your foot down and let it incrementally get worse and worse? I mean, I know there's some things you ignore, some things you fight. I think I would track this other lady down that complained and kill her.
No, you wouldn't kill her. But
no,
you
I
would
kill her.
You would.
I would
yell at her until she cried, I'm pretty sure.
I think I would have to confront this person.
Yeah.
I don't think my life would be complete unless I confronted the mother who said this about my child's cartoon monster leggings. They're calling them leggings, but they're little jammies.
Yeah.
I couldn't live with myself.
I would be like, what is wrong with you?
Anyway.
And your kid. And your kid. But, I mean, I don't know. Maybe she has a kid that is just scared of everything. I don't know.
And this apparently went on some websites and some Facebook pages. And, of course, people going back and forth. And, of course, you know, some here's one comment, which is good. You know, fabulous leggings. And I bet the little one looks super cute, too, in quotes. Can't see that they're scary. But if so, nurseries should be supporting to overcome the fear, not banning the leggings.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. If you got a kid that's afraid of those, then yeah, you better start working on your kid. Yeah, your kid.
Yeah.
The scaredy cat kid, right?
I would think so because
that kid.
I mean, we want kids to feel safe, okay? Absolutely. I 100% get that. I'm not an evil person.
Look at those cute little jammies.
They're adorable. They really are. There's nothing scary about them. And if you legitimately had a kid that was afraid of them, then, you know, maybe you ought to get them a pair too.
Yes. And it's on a toddler. This is probably a 1 to 2 year old child.
Yeah.
At most.
Yeah. Those are baby legs, baby feet.
Anyway.
Yeah. That's
some of this political correctness. I get
that's
that
not even political correctness. That's just absurdity.
Yeah.
That's not political correct. There's nothing political about jammies.
There's a spectrum, and this is clearly on the crazy spectrum of a lot of people would say this political correctness, but whatever it is, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's not political correctness. That's monsters on jammies.
Monsters on jammies. All right. I've got a...
Hank did all of the articles this week.
So strap in, people. I've got... That's funny. My notes here say cost of 12 days of Christmas, and it looks just like I wrote X-Men. I'm like, 12 days of X-Men? What the hell? It's Xmas.
Your handwriting is, especially when
is
you're the
phenomenally
only...
awesome.
Person that's planning on reading it, like you'll be like, oh, my note over there, and I'm like, you yeah. mean the hieroglyphics?
If I'm the only one reading it, yes, it looks like
hieroglyphics.
Yes, it looks like hieroglyphics. I can't help that. What do you think the cost would be if I bought you everything on the list for the 12 days of Christmas this season?
Oh man, it's up to.
Have you heard this already?
I've heard it like a couple of years ago, but with inflation and blah, 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 even if you went on the cheap, I bet you it's $5,000.
$5,000. How about $35,000?
Dang. I said if you go on the cheap.
$34,363 seems a little silly to get it to the dollar, but this is a good marketing strategy by, which I'm not even going to be able to get it because I can't find it right away in this article.
Uh-huh.
Oh, actually, it's by our bank, PNC Financial Services.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, out of Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'll be damned. Our bank calculates this.
Not our bank for much longer.
No, and it's a branch, obviously, down here in Hazard, Kentucky. But, yeah, did you know that's what PNC stood for? That's Pittsburgh or Pennsylvania one. Maybe it's Pennsylvania National something.
Oh, okay.
Anyhow... Here it is broken down, and that is good publicity. A partridge for $20. I think that's an expensive partridge.
I don't even know what a freaking partridge is.
You know, whatever the hell it is, surely it's like a pigeon. We can catch a pigeon here. For
yeah, but like pigeons can be outrageously expensive too, but all right.
I'll get them a pigeon for less than $20, I guarantee.
You'll catch them one, okay, and call it a partridge, okay, because you're... Hank.
what about pear tree?
Pear trees, oh God, they're like $100, aren't they?
They're saying $190.
Okay.
I think we could get a pear tree a lot cheaper than that.
We can mail order a pear tree.
Yes, no, for sure. Two turtle doves.
How much?
$375.
That's expensive.
Come on, a turtle dove. We see those all the time around here.
Yeah, you'd just go catch that too. So you'd have a free pigeon and two free doves.
Yep. Three French hens.
How much are they?
$182.
Mm.
I don't know why turtle doves are twice as expensive as French hens, but whatever.
And I don't know who wants that many damn birds, okay? Can we just say again, I'm not a big fan of the birds.
It is a lot of birds in this song. You're going to have to build a coop. Mm-hmm. To house all these birds.
Absolutely.
Yeah, three French hens, $182. Here's another bird. Four calling birds. You know what a calling bird is, apparently?
I don't know. How much?
A canary.
Oh, okay.
That's what they're saying.
Canaries aren't very... Well, I don't know. I'm used to parakeets. How much is a canary?
They're saying for four of these little suckers, $600. There's no way.
That's kind of steep, folks. That's steep.
I beg to differ with
PNC. I'd take a parakeet.
This is why we are switching banks, because our bank upcharges every damn thing.
Exactly.
Just like this song. Our bank would be, yes, that figures it'd be our bank doing this bullshit.
Yeah.
Four canaries, $600. Yeah. I can just see them, just like our loan.
Yep.
Bastards. Five gold rings.
How much is that?
$750. That seems low.
It'd be like a plain gold band.
Six geese a laying.
How much is that?
$360. That's ridiculous. I could catch six geese out at the Paintsville Lake.
You could.
Free.
You could.
Which, by the way, more birds.
More free birds.
More birds. You move to Hazard, you can get this song for a quarter of the price.
Less than that. You just have to put up with Hank helping you hunt the birds.
And when you get your six geese a-laying for $360, how about this one? Seven swans a-swimming.
Ooh, do we even have seven swans in the lake?
Well, we'll catch them.
All right, how much are they?
Surely they all haven't flown.
I bet swans are expensive.
You know, they are, but what's the difference between swans and a geese?
And a lot. Geese are the Canadian, like the black geese.
Yeah.
And swans are those big white mean-ass birds.
Well, these mean-ass birds, for seven of them, they're saying $13,125.
I bet.
No way.
I'm
telling you, we'll go out to the lake and catch some, and we need to start in the swan business then. Because they're out there free.
I'm never getting near a swan. I've been flogged the fuck half to death by geese. So there's no... And swans are mean.
They got you down and just pecked you, didn't they?
Yeah, they do. And, like, swans are used as guard animals in some places. Or they have been historically, because they're that freaking territorial.
About eight maids of milking.
How much is a milkmaid?
They're saying $58. That seems ridiculously low. Minimum wage is more than that, and a maid of milking, you're paying somebody.
I guess for an hour's work.
Well, I guess that's what they're getting.
Okay.
Nine ladies dancing.
How much is that?
$7,553.
Where are they going? To the thriftiest strip club in Las Vegas?
They're clearly not going to Southern Exposure. I'll guarantee you we can find nine ladies dancing for a hell of a lot less than $7,000.
Exactly.
$500.
Yep. And they'll take their clothes off for you.
And they'll be naked. 10 lords of leaping.
Now what the heck is that, even?
I don't even know. It says per performance. So I guess you just got to buy, I don't know, a bunch of actors.
Dancers?
$5,500.
Okay.
11 pipers piping.
Per performance, what's that?
$2,700.
Okay.
Again, I don't believe that. We can go to local high school, find some flute players, and get at it a lot cheaper.
Okay.
12 drummers drumming, $3,000.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that expensive.
Again, we'll go between the high school and the lake. We can get this done for a whole lot cheaper.
Except for those swans.
Damn, swans are expensive. Petra, I'm going to take a small pee break, and then we're going to come right back.
All right.
And I'm back. Bladder emptied.
You and your hamster bladder.
Well,
usually it's me, though.
Well, you know, I've got this boozy coffee. It's got booze in it. It's phenomenal.
It's pretty good. I had a cup, too. And I've had cold medicine, so I'm a little bit loopy.
I think I am, too. Plus, I drink a ton of water. I realized at about 4 o'clock today that I haven't been drinking the water I needed to drink. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I, like, guzzled my half gallon of that. Yeah. Combined with alcohol, which is a diuretic, caffeine, which is a diuretic, and I just drink half a gallon of water.
You're just like, please.
I am full like a sponge. So that was the 12 days of Christmas.
12 expensive-ass days of Christmas.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe we can get that cost down to a fraction of that cost. That's what
$34,000. Yeah, no.
That's ridiculous.
It is. Plus, it'd be a scavenger hunt for us. It'd be fun.
We'd
have the hillbilly days of Christmas.
We should have the hillbilly days of Christmas. We could absolutely do that.
Yeah.
12 trucks are rusting and, yeah, we could have all kinds of stuff.
Oh, there is a country song, country version of the 12 days of Christmas.
See, already, somebody's already took
some beer runs and, yeah. It's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. It actually is. It's a funny little Christmas.
Chickens are laying.
It's hillbilly stuff. It's great.
I get fresh eggs all the time from my customers. Chickens laying.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Woohoo!
Canada seems to be a pretty fun place.
I think we should all move to Canada.
There must be obviously problems up there, I assume, but it just seems like all the stories that make their way into the news are these cute,
funny.
Yeah, they're cute little funny stories. Which this is the next one I'm leading to.
Uh-huh.
It's by Michael Walsh with Yahoo News. Canadian cops will punish drunk drivers with Nickelback. Isn't that awesome?
That is funny.
They posted this. Some Canadian police station posted this on their Facebook page, apparently.
Yep.
And it says, quote, "For those dumb enough," in quotes, "when we catch you, and we will catch you, on top of a hefty fine, a criminal charge, and a year's driving suspension, we will also provide you with a bonus gift of playing the office's copy of Nickelback in the cruiser on the way to jail."
Yes.
Isn't that funny? Then the next thing is, quote, now, no need to thank us. We figure if you are foolish enough to get behind the wheel after drinking, then a little Chad Kroger and the boys is a perfect gift for you," end quotes. Isn't that funny?
Well,
That's a great public service way to, like, don't drink and drive.
It
We're
is.
We're going to find you.
And for whatever reason, and it kind of cracks me up, Nickelback really is one of those groups that, like, I don't think anybody ever admits to liking.
I like one song in particular. I'll admit it. The Rockstar.
Yeah, there are a few songs that are not.
They, of course, keep saying, "I want to be a rock star," but I think the technical name is just Rockstar. I like that song.
You know, there's a couple that are catchy.
But they certainly have a rep for.
They do.
The go-to awful, I don't know. They're like Warrant in the 80s.
Like
they point to Warrant, like, "It was you bastards that ended the hair band. You're the hair band that fucked it all up decent hair bands like Def Leppard and Bon Jovi and some of the, like, you fucked it up."
I guess, but for whatever reason, like, everybody busts on Nickelback, but they are still, like, a huge band, and people know who they are. People go to their concerts, people buy their CDs. Who is it that does all this and then is like, "Oh, no, I don't listen to them"? It's funny.
Somebody's listening to them, right?
All right.
Here's some of their songs. Photograph. I like that song okay.
Photograph. I don't think
Look
I
at
like
this it. Photograph. It's not that great. How about Burn It to the Ground?
Never heard it.
Far Away.
I don't think I've heard it.
Someday.
Nope.
If Everyone Cared.
Nope.
Apparently nobody cares about Nickelback. Gotta Be Somebody.
Maybe.
Not if you're in that band. I'd Come for You.
Nope.
Here Without You.
Nope. I like How You Remind Me and Rockstar. I like those two well enough. Well, and I have a confession, Hank.
Confess
Somebody
away.
Caught me pulling into the parking lot at school in my little piece of shit car, like, freaking blaring Nine Inch Nails, you know.
Nice. Well,
and they were like, "What does your husband listen to?" And I don't like because I don't know. I was on Nine Inch Nails. I was like, Nickelback. And they just
Nickelback. How dare you accuse me of liking Nickelback?
I accused you of it and made a joke of it. It just, like, was so cool. I just walked on in, you know, like you didn't catch me while listening.
You threw me under the bus.
I did.
Damn it.
I threw you totally under the bus.
Now there's some random person out there that thinks I love Nickelback in cosmetology school. Damn it. Well, I would suggest that Canada is on the right track. As far as I realize, it's a funny little meme and funny little article. But I think they're on the right track. I mean, some of these earworms are damn torturous sometimes, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
If you were drunk, you had to hear the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, on repeat.
On repeat. What do you think?
I think I'd probably puke in the back of their car, but, you know.
I think this would be the one for you. I see out too
late. I really hate the song.
Come on. How can you not like it? Little Taylor Swift. Everybody loves her. Look at her. She's got people breakdancing. You know, like the song.
You know what? I have been in cosmetology school for over a year with that playing nonstop.
Oh, yeah?
On our radio. So, like at least 5 or 6 times a day. Because they put it on, like, pop top 20 or something like that. And it just repeats over and over again. All right, now it's time for yours.
Does that get you in there?
That's it. Thank you.
So you think if they played that over and over, that might discourage some women from drinking and driving so much?
Possibly. Now let's play yours.
Mine. If they played this, I would bash my head against the windshield until either my head exploded or
you were unconscious.
Yes, they would have to, because this would be torturous for me. This was right in the middle of hairband 80s.
Yeah.
I remember when this was out thinking, God, this is the most awful fucking thing it's ever been. Like, I even recognize, like, oh, that is a synthesizer. Like a Casio that I see at this department store every day. You know what this is? You know,
oh,
what
this absolutely
is. Of course you know what this is.
They get that commercial, everybody this does.
God, it's
I'm
awful.
I'm just waiting for
it. It's the epitome of every bad song, video, everything possible with 80s hair bands. Did you see the pyrotechnics?
Absolutely.
The cheesy little pyrotechnics.
What year was this even?
I'm going to guess 85-ish. I'm just guessing.
See, like, I'm not as horribly offended by it as you are.
Everybody has the exact same, like, long hair. They do that head, you know, the head bob thing where they wave their hair like the badasses. We've got the makeup.
Yeah, actually their makeup is really pretty.
And that serious, oh, that fucking killed me right there. We're leaving together. It's just the most serious thing ever. And it's just fucking gibberish. It's just fucking gibberish.
You know what's really funny is one of my favorite exercise videos has a remake of the Final Countdown on it. And I have to, like,
God,
playing around when you're not around to exercise because, like, you just lose your shit.
Oh, there's the everybody bouncing at the same time, all the musicians. Oh, there's the duet. Everything. This is, has every bad everything in it. The fake concert, where there's really about 100 people there that they've rounded up off the street to try to make it look like they're actually at some concert. That's the only people right there that you can see.
Yep.
Yeah, that's it. So anyhow, no, I'm not a fan of the Final Countdown. And yes, if the Canadian police played that for me, that would be
that would be the end of you.
I'd be begging for, yeah.
Please lock me up.
Lock me up for the love of God. Please. Yeah, I don't know what could be worse than this.
Nickelback.
This time of year, maybe that rapey Christmas song.
That has been a bad earworm. And it's everybody has done a remake of that. I hate it.
What is it? Baby, It's Cold Outside?
Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Yeah,
I'm sick
about
of hearing that.
We hear it all the time. When did that become super
I don't know.
To redo?
It's bad this year, though.
I don't know. Maybe anything poison. I don't like poison.
Don't mind poison that much.
Every rose has its thorn. That wouldn't drive you crazy after a while.
No, I'm good with that.
Unskinny bop. No thanks.
I like that one.
You'd just be back there bebopping along. Like,
I know.
Oh,
I would be like,
more.
Hey.
What? I thought this was supposed to be torture. Come on.
Then they put some Taylor Swift in. I'll foam at the mouth and lose my shit. Taylor Swift and Justin Bieber.
When is One Night in Bangkok playing? When's that coming up on the rotation?
Yeah, exactly. I love that song.
That's funny.
No, I love that song. Like, I have fully embraced my bad taste in music, and I love it. So you can't make me feel bad about it anymore because I embrace it.
Here's a dude who... It would be tempting if you saw a pot of gold on the sidewalk, would it not?
Can he even tell that it was gold?
You know, that's very astute of this dude, because apparently it was gold shavings. Where the hell do you get gold shavings?
Probably from a jewelry maker of some sort.
I guess.
Well, I would think that you would melt it down and use it again at a jewelry smith. I don't know.
This is by Aaron Katersky. We'll go with that.
Okay.
From Good Morning America. But I'm sure this has been on a million different shows and articles. This happened in New York City. And apparently this dude, they had a Brinks truck outside of this business. And the Brinks truck guy must have set this down and went to do something. I don't know.
Forgot it. Was it on the sidewalk?
And before I say it, do they say it was the Brinks? Because I hate to say the wrong company, because that's a really big fuck up. Well, it doesn't say. But anyway, let's just say an armored car company.
An armored car company.
Yeah, they literally set a pot of gold shavings on the sidewalk and left it unattended. So what the fuck do you think's going to happen?
Somebody picked that shit up.
Somebody picked it up and ran like an NFL lineman for the goal line, Petra.
And, you know.
And he got away. It happened on the corner of 5th Avenue and 48th Street. They've got him on camera, and the dude's just running away with his pot of gold.
And what was it valued at?
How about $1.6 million. Damn.
Get out of town, son. There's nothing that you need in New York City that much. You need to go on the lam there.
Exactly. He needs to show up in Hazard for sure and just live here. People are like, how'd you get all your money? Like, I just happened
upon it.
I won the lottery. I found a leprechaun and stole his pot of gold.
Exactly.
That's what happened. What of it?
I have mixed feelings on this because straight up, that is stealing. He's a thief. That's fucking stealing.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things where it's just so absurd because it's freaking gold shavings that you kind of have to laugh about it. How heavy would that shit be?
You know, that's what I was thinking. Like, how much does $1.6 million in gold weigh? You'd think it would be a lot.
You would think so. And I'm wondering if, is it 24 karat gold? Because if it's not.
It doesn't say.
All right. If it's not basically an alloy with other metals.
Here, we have a number, actually. Looking at this article, it says the aluminum pail was filled with 86 pounds of gold flakes.
Wow.
Hell, I mean, I lift weights. An 80-pound dumbbell is a fucking heavy dumbbell.
Yeah.
I mean, very few, you know what I'm saying.
Sure, yeah.
Very few people like do bench press with dumbbells that weigh that much. I mean, it's rare.
Yeah.
Golly. I don't see how the hell this guy's carrying it. In this picture, he doesn't look like he's exerting himself that much. This dude may be like a supervillain. He may be one of the X-Men
villains. I'm wondering if it's not bullshit. Like, I'm going to call bullshit on this story a little bit. Because, like, maybe it wasn't $1.5 million. Maybe it was $500,000. and they're bumping that number up, trying to get him to come out, you know, do something stupid and get caught.
Maybe.
And maybe the, like, the news companies are estimating how much it would weigh, and really it may only weigh like a third of that much. Because he doesn't particularly look like, and it's a Loomis truck. He doesn't really look like somebody who would pick up a nearly 100-pound bucket and run with it.
You know, as you say it, there are some discrepancies, I will have to say.
I'm thinking that they're doing this
because I can tell you right now, as a medical professional and somebody that lifts weights, I can tell you right now
that doesn't weigh 86
that
pounds.
That does not weigh 86 pounds the way he is carrying that bucket. He's carrying this bucket with one hand and the bucket against his belly.
Yeah, he's carrying it like it weighs 20 pounds.
Yes. So you may be right there.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
And maybe
right.
The news companies have figured out like how much it weighs and it wasn't like something released. Like, they're calculating the weight of gold shavings.
Well, there's his picture. It looks like anybody. They're never going to find this dude.
No.
He just looks like an average dude. Looks like
unless he done something completely stupid. Yeah.
Looks like he may or may not have a mustache. He just looks like a plain old white dude.
Wero.
But actually, in the article, it says they said a Mexican guy. So, hell, even that, we can't even tell from this picture.
Yeah.
What is, you know. So, anyway, so it looks like old Pedro got away with $1.6 billion from
I think
Leprechaun.
Pedro didn't get quite that much, but.
I think you're right. That's a good point. Well, he stole a bucket load of.
Gold shavings. I just don't think it was that much. And they may be trying to get him to do something stupid and get caught.
Hell, he may be in on it. He may be like, here, steal this, and we'll say it's $1.6 million when it's really nothing.
that could be bumped up for insurance purposes.
Shit happens, right?
Yeah.
Not going to discount it. So, who knows? Well, So there you go, Miss Petra.
Sorry, I didn't mean to poo-poo on your story, but...
No, I think you make some very valid points.
Oh, thank you.
So, okay. So, I've got to go out and get your 12 days of Christmas stuff. I've got to go catch some gooses.
Please do not get me birds for Christmas.
I get you gooses, turtle doves, geese a-laying, canaries.
No. No.
And then we got to build a coop.
No. Your wife does not want birds for Christmas. This is the most serious
damn
thing
it.
I've ever said.
Damn it. There is no pleasing you.
I know.
We got to get birds and we've got to watch House Party.
We got to watch House Party. And
the greatest movie ever made, according to my friend Dave. Isn't it fun? It is funny how we get stuck on things that we like ourselves. Like, and funny, and it's great. Your song, One Night in Bangkok, you genuinely absolutely love that song.
I do. I think it's fabulous.
But the average person is going to be like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, I think it's fun when we all have little things like that.
Well, there's a story behind it. Like, growing up, my parents were very, very conservative religious folks. Plus, the only popular music that we listened to growing up was Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton and Loretta Lynn.
Silence in the Stream.
Oh, my God.
Silence in the Stream? What the hell was
Islands
it?
Islands in the Stream.
It wasn't Silence.
Ass.
Islands.
Islands.
Islands in the Stream.
Yes.
That is what we are.
Yeah. That was every car trip everywhere was country music, and I hated it. I loathed it. Hated country music.
So now you listen to Nine Inch Nails, and they can't stop you.
Exactly. And I can remember, like, when I was in, I don't know, maybe fifth grade, junior high, just getting exposed to more music and things like that. Like, you have friends whose parents don't listen to country music all the time. And I can remember there was some television show on, and the video for One Night in Bangkok came on, and I just stood in front of the TV. I froze. Like, I just froze. I was like, oh, my God, that is the most wonderful thing I've ever heard in my life.
Like a caveman discovering the wheel.
Yes, it was. It was like it was totally different than anything I'd ever heard.
It's very gay, flamboyant song.
It's exotic. It's Bangkok, this foreign place. And I mean, I wanted to be anywhere except for Southern West Virginia. Trust me on this. And to, you know, this song about playing chess, high stakes.
It's a very thinly veiled, gay song as
yes,
it can be.
Yes, it is. But like, I didn't understand the gay part of it. I mean, I was a kid.
Right.
But I fucking just like sucked it in like a sponge. And then like every time I heard that song, I would just get giddy. And like, I've liked it better and better my whole life. Like, I don't care what it's about. Like, that was my introduction to It Ain't Dolly Parton.
That's funny. Well, I have a feeling my buddy Dave, this movie House Party, that's clearly, you know, a black movie with black people oriented towards a black audience.
That may be in his, like, it's not hillbilly.
Oh, I know it's going to be, because he's a pretty good athlete and was in his day. And I'll guarantee you it's the same thing as me when I played basketball in high school. We all listened to rap music because it was the newest thing. Like, oh, my God, listen to this.
It's great.
Listen to this. You can't hear this on the radio. Oh, my God, this guy's name's Houdini. His name's Houdini. Can you believe this? And then you listen to this song and you pretend like you're black because you can play basketball better. And you're a jackass white dude. You're a jackass Wero from Hazard, Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'll guarantee you that is his end with this, was playing basketball, listening to this sort of taboo or whatever the hell, just something he's really not supposed to be into.
Yeah.
And I just guarantee that's what it is.
I tell you what,
that's fine. It's great.
That's awesome. And the first time I ever came home with... And we've talked about this on here before. Like, I had a record player. We had like a kid's record player that you could change the speed on.
Yep.
You know, and I came home from shopping with my aunt one time with Madonna's Like a Virgin.
Oh, no, you did not.
On a 45, one of those little record singles.
Bet your mama and dada didn't like that, I bet.
I hit it. They didn't even know I had it.
You are going straight to hell, Petra.
Oh, my God. Oh, well, yeah, I got my ass.
This is not Dolly Parton.
Up for that.
This is not Coat of Many Colors. Damn it.
Yeah.
No.
No. No. It was.
This is not I Will Always Love You.
No. Nope, it wasn't.
Oh, that is funny, Petra. Well, are you about ready to get off here tonight, Miss Thing?
Yes,
I think my boozy coffee is wearing down a little bit. I don't have to pee anymore.
You relaxing like 5 minutes. A little
chillaxing.
Chillaxing. All right, everybody, have a fantastic week, and we'll talk to you again next week.